A grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's nowhere near fall, certainly not anywhere close to October or Halloween, but in reading this passage from Isaiah, I can't help but think of that just great Charlie Brown Halloween special, The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. And you're probably familiar with that little special, but in it, Charlie Brown's best friend, Linus, instead of going out and trick-or-treating and dressing in his costume and going out and getting candy, decides once again to wait for the Great Pumpkin. Now, the Great Pumpkin is Halloween's version of Santa Claus. And so in the special, Linus writes a letter to the Great Pumpkin, asking for toys and those kind of things. And then on Halloween night, he, according to his rules anyway, you go out and he finds the most sincere pumpkin patch he can find. What makes a pumpkin patch sincere? I don't know, but Linus does. And so he goes out and he sits in the pumpkin patch and he is there with Sally, who has a crush on Linus, as everyone knows. And he sits out there and he waits for the Great Pumpkin to arrive and bring him all sorts of candy and presents and toys and all these things. But of course, the Great Pumpkin doesn't come. Even though he's expected, the Great Pumpkin doesn't arrive. And so Linus once again has floundered and wasted a perfectly good Halloween. He didn't get any candy. His sister Lucy finds him out in the pumpkin patch. He's shivering and cold, and she brings him in, and that's it. The Great Pumpkin hasn't arrived once again. Linus waited. He put his trust into something that would just never deliver. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament in our Bibles is originally written largely in Hebrew, biblical Hebrew. And in the Old Testament, the word for waiting is almost identical to the word for hope. They're related to each other. They're essentially the same. And so when you wait for something, you're hoping for something. To wait for something, to wait for the Lord, for example, is to wait for the Lord to act with great expectation, that there's a hope that God is going to do something for you. This is what waiting is. This is how Linus waits for the Great Pumpkin. He's expecting and hoping that the Great Pumpkin is going to arrive and do something for him. In the background of this passage from Isaiah 40, the people of God, Israel, is waiting on the Lord, which means they're hoping for the Lord to do something on their behalf. But their hope is waning. Their trust is dissipating. See, the people of God at this point in Isaiah, they're captives. They have been conquered by the superpower of the day, Babylon. The Babylonians came in, and many of these people watched their sacred temple to the Lord be destroyed. They watched Jerusalem get sacked and just be destroyed as well. The walls of Jerusalem tumble. They were taken captive by the Babylonians and thrown into exile away from their home that God blessed them with. And they've been now in exile for some time, and their hope is dissipating. Many of them, I'm sure, feel as though God has now abandoned them. That God has left them, that maybe even God has somehow failed or been thwarted, been defeated. And so being in a foreign land amongst a foreign people, a people who do not worship their God, they're suffering temptation. as their hope wanes. They're tempted, instead of putting their trust on God, to put their trust into other things. And in this passage, Isaiah is addressing those things that they're tempted to put their trust into. Perhaps they're tempted to put their trust in the nations around them. After all, Babylon destroyed Israel. And if God is the God of Israel, then maybe that means that the God of Babylon defeated our God. They're tempted to put their trust in the nations around them because it looks like this is their new home. They're tempted to even turn to idols, things made with their own hands. They can look around and they see their pagan neighbors worshiping at temples with statues of their gods, and maybe they have shrines in their houses with statues to their gods, and they look at themselves and say, our temple was destroyed. What do we worship now? And so there's a temptation to make something that they could worship. That might seem a little silly to us, but Luther will remind us that anything we put our trust into is essentially our God. It is our idol. So we might have our idols at home. They're not sitting on a shrine with a bunch of candles and all that kind of stuff in a special closet. But it might be the home itself, or it might be a person living in that home, or it might be the money that we use to build that home. We have our idols. Israel's also tempted to put their trust in the rulers or the princes or the kings that are around them. After all, they defeated their king. Israel has no king anymore. These kings maybe are promising to make the nation great again. Or maybe it's change you can believe in. Or maybe if it's a queen, maybe it's someone they can stand with. There is a temptation to put their trust into a ruler. And of course, there's temptations to put trust in their own strength, in their own power, in their own might. What it comes down to, though, is their trust and their hope, any expectation they have, is placed on something no better than the great pumpkin. They're going to be waiting in the pumpkin patch that is Babylon for something to arrive that's not going to arrive. There's times in our lives where it feels like God is silent. Maybe even times where it feels like God's hand is heavy upon us. There might be times where it feels like God has abandoned you. Or maybe even that God has failed somehow, that his plan has been thwarted, that it's not working right, that the world or the devil or something has defeated God's plan for your life. It might feel like that sometimes. And at that point, we have to ask, well, where do we put our hope and our trust? Because at those times, to place our hope and our trust in God our Father, those are difficult times. We might think, well, what other choice do I have than to put my trust in myself or to put my trust in something that I have, a possession, or to put my trust in government, frankly? And at these times, we need to remember the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Remember, we talked about belief, faith, last week. What do we have faith in? We have faith, we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. When I was first designing this sermon series, my intention was to have a sermon about God the Father on Father's Day, which was last week, and then today just do creation and God the Creator. But I couldn't find a way to separate them. The two are just linked together. God the Father is the Creator. The Creator is God the Father. The two go hand in hand. If they didn't go hand in hand, what we would have is like a God like any other God that any other religion in the world might have, a God that is terrifying, that might have created everything, but is that God good? And does that God do goodness for me? We have both. And Isaiah brings this to bear as he talks and he gives hope to the people of Israel as they are captives, as their hope is waning. He tells them, look at the nations. The nations are nothing compared to God. They are a drop in a bucket. All the cattle of the nations wouldn't be enough of a sacrifice for our God. All the trees of the nations wouldn't be enough to light the fire for that sacrifice. The nations are nothing to God. Look at these idols that you have made. You are making creatures, creations are making creations. That's not how it's supposed to be. You are made by a Creator. Everything you see around you is made by the Creator. He spreads His stars out like a blanket, like a curtain. He names all the heavenly bodies like a shepherd might know his sheep, or a commander might know his men underneath him. God knows them all. None go missing. Isaiah tells the people, all the rulers of the world, you see, they're like plants ready to wilt as God breathes upon them. This is your Creator. And at first, the way Isaiah describes God as being the Almighty Creator, it can look terrifying. It's terrifying for me to think that God knows each and every little star. There's a billion trillion stars in the known universe. God knows and has named and placed every one of them. That is a terrifying thought because it makes me feel awfully small. But Isaiah highlights the creative and the absolutely unique power of God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, in order to highlight His goodness for you. Isaiah doesn't call God Father, but everything we want to know or have about a father is here in this passage. All the strength, all the might that God employs in creation, Isaiah tells us that that same strength, that same might, that same power is there for those who wait upon the Lord. Verse 31 says, they who wait, they who hope, they who trust on the Lord shall have their strength renewed. Waiting is hoping. Hoping is trusting that God is going to act on your behalf. Now, certainly, God's actions on our behalf and for our good, sometimes we can't see them as they are. Sometimes we maybe don't understand how this is for my good. Sometimes, and this is the case of the Israelites, it looks like the complete opposite. But we wait, we hope, and we trust that God is going to act on our behalf. Waiting on the Lord is not a useless exercise like waiting in a pumpkin patch for the great pumpkin to arrive. When we wait on God, God shows up. The Lord gives strength to those who are weary. Even young people get tired, then stumble and fall. But those who trust, those who wait on the Lord, will find new strength. They will be strong like eagles soaring up on wings. They will walk and run without getting tired.